Yesterday I was watching a perfect example of how the universe works, because there was this little tiny creature, very, very small and see-through, swimming in the ocean. Now, it's, you know, a tenth the size of a button, and he was moving along at super speed. You could see he was really swimming as hard as he could, but he's swimming against the current. So to him, this little creature, he's moving at super speeds, because in his universe, which is that body of water that he's in, the water is moving past him at incredible speeds, and he's seeing all the stuff that he sees in his little universe passing him, right? So even if he turns around, it still would be the same. But in reality, he was swimming against the current. So he was actually staying exactly where he was in my universe, looking in to his universe. So because I can see from further away, I don't see the details, and the things that go on in his universe, but I see from a broader perspective what goes on around his universe. So if he were to turn around, let's say, and swim with the current, it would make absolutely no difference to him, because his entire universe is a current and is flowing back and forth the ocean with the tides, right? His whole body of water, which is his universe, is flowing back and forth. There's no way for him to tell. He's in there, swimming left or right. If he turns around and swims the other way, with the current, the whole ocean and current will sweep him out to sea, the whole body of water, and maybe sweep him back into the bay later on. But he would have no awareness of that, no understanding, and no matter how smart he is, how brilliant he is, he wouldn't understand that. And then the whole body of water, even if he had a spaceship where he could fly great distances like we have, we can go to the moon as an example, he still wouldn't get really out of his universe. And he wouldn't have no understanding of what really goes on beyond his universe, no matter how smart he is, because there's no such thing as cars, gasoline, nuclear weapons, computers. None of that stuff exists in his universe. He has other things in his universe, as grand in scale, that we cannot perceive, because we would have to actually enter his universe to perceive it. Now, that's a perfect example of how the universe works. Because the great beings that we are, we cannot comprehend from the position we are in. We cannot really comprehend the great beings that we are, and that we are not even here to learn, we are just here to experience. So, looking at him there, if I had the ability, or the possibility, I could say, I would like to experience that. So in order to experience that, of course, I would have to be put into a body of that organism. But in order to be put into that body of that organism, I also have to remove the memory of who I am at this present time. Otherwise, I can't function there. It just would be impossible. Also, you would go insane. You couldn't possibly function in that environment and knowing who and what you are and everything else. So you remove your memory, you go into that, and there you have your full experience. Now, once you come back from there, back into this physical experience, you would then have the memory of that experience fully intact, because you're in the reverse process, you're bringing your memory with you. So then you would have a total experience of what that physical experience would be like. And that's exactly how we do it, except we do it in stages. The large being we are, we don't go directly from there to this physical experience. We go to another experience, and from that experience, we drop down to another one, and to another one more physical, and to another one more physical until we are here in this physical experience. And now that our technology and our awareness and our understanding is growing, we will soon be at the ability to create actually another level of experience from this physical experience. And computer games are the first stages to that, because when you play a computer game and you're in there and you're playing it so intensely that the rest of your life drops away, for that short period of time you're actually there. Now, you're not having, let's say, if you're doing a combat game, obviously you're not really having the physical sensation of that virtual man, but you're having a virtual experience similar to that. And that's the thing, you see. Not all experiences are totally physical. So when you drop down from, let's say, the stages of what we actually are, there's all kinds of variants that we can go to. So when you do out-of-body travel, you're in a sense almost stepping backwards. You're releasing your body, going back into energy, and in the energy form you're traveling. And because then you are just energy, you can travel to places that physically you can't really go to, because the physical body is, well, it's limited by its physical surroundings. You can't pick it up and make it go somewhere non-physical. But you can leave your body behind with practice. So that's where you can then step back and you would see other realities and possibilities of what beings are experiencing in different forms. And there's some that are not as physical as this, where they don't even have the emotional properties that we have here. So that's all kind of interesting, isn't it? All the possibilities in our frameworks. And so as we create these computer games and we play, it allows us to expand our physical experience and to experience partially something without necessarily all those, what we might consider later, negative effects. Like war, for instance. If we go into war physically, well, if something happens, we're dead and we have to start all over again. Partially that's part of the experience. And in a sense, that's part of the thrill. Now, again, I think I said that some people just don't quite get that, but if you think about the whole totality of what you might be, the huge being that you might be, this battle zone that we have is actually a fraction of a second. So, the lifespan of this little being that was swimming around the ocean is very short. It's probably about 2 days, according to one of the divers. 48 hours. That's how long he lives. Now to us, you know, that seems short, because we live 60 to 80 years. If we lived the lifespan of 600 years, then in comparison, his 24 hours would seem even smaller. If we lived an eternity, in other words, there is no beginning or end for us, there will never be an end, we will live forever, then his 24 hours seem very minuscule, very small. sort of like a blink of an eye, really. So let's say you said, gee, Frank, that would be neat to experience what that's like, what it's like to be that being swimming around the ocean. What's all going on there anyway? So you can look in the ocean. You can't really tell what's all going on there. You can't tell what possible emotional experiences, physical experiences are actually being experienced by that being, because you cannot do it from the physical being that we are. We cannot experience out of our physical sensory perception. So we have no clue what might be going on in there. So, the same way goes in a sense from a larger, for step backwards to a larger being. We cannot fully understand war. And the fact that it's actually such a short period of time comparison to the fact that we live forever, that makes it even more so less understandable. So, if this being has a life of 24 hours, we could say, well, can you put me in there, erase my memory, and put me in there for a couple of lifetimes? Three lifetimes, I'm not even gone for a week. And then I could experience what that's like from that side. You know, and that's really how it works. And that's how we're here. So the idea is to really pick what kind of experience we want while we're in this physical lifespan. Pick the ones we want and go after those experiences that we most enjoy, whatever they be. And you might say, well, yeah, if we get rid of war and battle and all that stuff, it would sure be a lot better place. And at some point, this world will be without that. It will be a world of peace. That will come here. But for a long time, it hasn't been, and that's partially because we haven't wanted it. The honest to God's truth is that the majority that's come here have come here for the battle and for that particular experience. Because it's not very many places that you can actually go. And when I did some out-of-body traveling, I came across some other beings who were so massively interested and fascinated by, you know, where I did my physical experience, that they were planning to come there for that. And I tried to explain the battle thing to them, you know, the war and all the emotions that go through you. I mean, think of all the different emotions that you experience in battle, from hate to envy to camaraderie to all kinds of things. Everything is heightened to an extreme. Pain is heightened to extreme. Pleasure can be heightened to an extreme. The adrenaline is running to an extreme. You're pushing your body to a limit. There's a lot of things going on there. And those beings were actually quite interested in that. But from their standpoint, they couldn't fully understand it. But they were so fascinated at it that they had decided that one way or another they were going to come here to experience it. Which probably means, you know, dying where they are and a large part of themselves then going down into the frameworks to become physical, the way we are, to experience it, the way we do. Something to think about as you go through the day. The purpose of our lives is just the experience in itself. It's that simple. And that complicated.